Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm great.
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Thanks for filling in for me over the last couple of weeks.
I enjoyed it. I hope everything's great at home. Worked out great for me, and I was glad to know that you were getting to spend such quality time with the new little one.
Oh, yeah. Things going really well. Appreciate you doing a fabulous job, as we knew you would do. And, PK, lots to talk about on the Titans front today. Let's start with kicker, because obviously Shudak and Wolf released yesterday. Michael Badgley comes in. Didn't look like it went very well for Michael Badgley yesterday. So why do you think this continues to be an issue with the Titans finding a kicker to this point? And how problematic could this be for this year's team, given how tight we think things might be in the division with Jacksonville?
Oh, it'll be problematic. First off, they don't put enough of a premium on 50-plus, and they need to be able to – the league today, the best teams in the league, the best kicking teams in the league can hit field goals over 50 yards. Randy Bullock couldn't put them in position not to be able to try. They also don't have a good enough sense of what they have when they have less than good kickers. I mean, they lost the Giants game because they were busy trying to position him for a hash mark instead of trying to get him yardage, which was a complete debacle. And then, you know, they're just very casual and nonchalant about it. They have been for much of the Robinson era, and you would hope that Rand Carthon would come in and say, hey, let's take this a little bit more seriously, but he has not. And then, you know, a miracle availability comes in May when Brandon McManus gets cut in Denver for salary cap reasons. And not only don't they go get him and you know, go ahead with the plan where they're going to look at two young guys that nobody outside had much faith in, but they let their division rival Jaguars sign him. And so I think they're going to pay the price there. Look, I'm looking at the Chargers, where Dustin Hopkins and Cameron Dicker are fighting. I'm looking at New England, where Nick Folk and Chad Ryland, the fourth-round pick out of Maryland, are fighting. I'm looking at Detroit, where Riley Patterson and John Parker Romo are fighting. I think, you know, three kickers who are better than Badgley are going to get cut out of those situations. But they'll pick the wrong one. If they're in position to do that, and none of these guys are great, you know, over 50, you got to go, you know, really chase somebody to get that. And Craig Aukerman talks like 40 to 49 is, you know, kicking nirvana. So I think it's a mindset too.
I have a lot of questions on this. Okay, first of all, good. It's an interesting, you know, those guys you laid out. Those guys, let's compare them to right now, old guys who have been very good, Crosby, Gould, and Suckup. Okay, so first of all, think about that. But also, PK, who do you put this on? I mean, I think obviously they've misevaluated kickers. I totally reject, like, special teams coach should get credit or blame if, like, a kicker performs.
Predominantly.
You put on Vrabel?
Okay. I just think he's very nonchalant about special teams. Not nonchalant about special teams. He talks about special teams constantly. Yeah. But they're not good on special teams. So, I mean, I do think that trickles down to Aukerman, who seems to have, like, papal infallibility in terms of answering for it. You know, he makes excuses for himself that the injuries trickle down into his core special teams. That's what special teams are. You have to sort through injuries and do things, but they don't cover particularly well outside of having had a great punter and then finding a great punter to replace the great punter. They're not very good. These older guys, Crosby was 1 for 4 from 50 plus last year. Gould was 2 for 2, but he was overall 84%. Suckup you know, is going to be money from 40 to 49. He was 12 for 12, but he's only 2 for 7 from over 50. But the fact of the matter is they're not going to get a guy, again, who can hit from 50-plus. And that's going to hurt them and lose them a game or two, probably, their inability to hit from there. But, you know, they've got those veteran options. I think Ryan Succop would play for him. And, again, he was 12 for 12. Only missed one extra point, 12 for 12 from 40 to 49, 2 for 7 from 50-plus, so they're not going to roll him out much from 50-plus based on what he did last year. And he wound up, around 82%.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, PK, you reported that Kyle Phillips out with an MCL injury in the range of 6 weeks. So if you're the Titans, how do you best go about replacing him early in the season? And do you think Mason Kinsey deserves a serious look at a roster spot come regular season time?
I wrote, yesterday that this is, to me, Mason Kinsey's kind of last best shot, but I don't think he's going to get it. I don't think that they need, that they're thinking like, oh, we have to replace Phillips with another slot receiver. Phillips went down last year and Kinsey didn't get the spot. They rolled a lot of other people through the slot position. Robert Woods was there a lot. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina was there a lot. And Treylon Burks was there a little bit. And I think that that's what they'll do again, even minus, you know, conceivably two of their top three at the beginning of the season. You know, even Hopkins, has had great success working through the slot. So I think if they're down those two guys on opening day, which I expect they will be, I think, you know, Hopkins and Moore start outside with Westbrook-Ikhina in the slot, and they go from there, and lots of people get opportunities in the slot. Maybe it enhances Spears in the slot some. Maybe it enhances Chig getting some extra plays out of the slot. But I think, you know, the remainder of the receiving core – with Robertson, with Harrison, Kyaris Jackson is slotty and I think was doing better, but I'm not wild about him. Still to be sorted out. I think Friday night's a big night for those guys to try to differentiate themselves. And they probably now start with six, because you know, they're going to be short. And then depending on how Phillips' recovery is going, maybe, you know, they put him on IR. I think they're thinking they won't have to, though.
I hear everything you're saying on the Kinsey. Two things I would say to that, PK. One is I think he is better. I do. I think he is, to his credit, has improved and is a pretty good understudy. He's not Kyle Phillips, but I think he does give you a little bit of that differentiation a slot. And also it is a different offense, different OC, right? So
yeah, I mean, that's his,
I'm open to the idea that
Kelly likes him better or feels better about him. The other thing, Eric Gehrer, looked good as the punt returner the other night. And I think he's making a nice push for the back end of the cornerback spot. And maybe they like him better as the punt returner. Kinsey, if he gets on there, needs to be the favorite at temporary punt returner. The other thing they could do, Joe, and this is what they've done with him the three times he's been on the roster, is put him back on the practice squad and then just call him up off of the practice squad and not have him be a guy on the 53. And the one thing, you know, you have to give him credit, Kinsey. He's a survivor, and Vrabel was very complimentary of him yesterday for how much, you know, he does as a scout guy in terms of playing receiver and safety. And there's a job for a guy like that up to a certain point when, you know, your eligibility runs out, and he's still got it. So I won't be surprised to see him on the practice squad playing that same role and getting maybe a call-up here and there when they need him. But, again, 2 years on the practice squad, they've had plenty of need at his spot, and he's played three games. He's got 1 3-yard catch.
PK, what did you make of Malik Willis, his performance on Saturday against Minnesota, and where the competition currently stands with him and Levis for QB2?
He was bad. I don't understand why people are painting it like he was good. Yeah, Chick dropped two passes. The second one wasn't a great throw by any means. He had somebody crossing in the back of the end zone. He threw it behind him when it kind of touched down. The pass to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was inexplicably bad. It was inconsistent. He didn't carry over the stuff from practice very well at all. Yeah, he ran great. Malik Willis at this stage, and I know it's still early, but playing against third teamers in the fourth quarter of a preseason game should look like very much the best player on the field. And he didn't look very like that to me. I thought it was a step back, and I thought he stayed at that. Didn't bounce back at practice yesterday. Wasn't very good either. So I think given an opportunity with Levis out of the picture to kind of seize the day and run with it, he's failed to do that. And that's somewhat disappointing. I sure hope that Levis can play Friday night. Vrabel said he was hopeful. It's quite a mystery what that is beyond lower body. A lot of people are assuming it's the toe. I don't think we should be assuming anything about what it is until we know, and we may not know, which is silly. But I don't feel any better about Malik Willis. I feel a little bit worse than I did going into the Minnesota game.
Last thing, PK, what did you think of Will Levis's mayonnaise commercial? Do you have a problem with Will Levis's mayonnaise commercial?
I haven't seen it.
It's actually pretty funny, I think.
I don't know. I'm in the dark on this.
Yeah, check it out,
man.
I
think Will Levis has a great...
It's kind of gross, though, if you hate mayonnaise.
I like mayonnaise. I don't like coffee.
Hey, there you go.
Okay.
I'm kind of with it. PK, good stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy it, guys. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.